In brightest day,
in blackest night.
Best in res of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. They hear the lamentation of their women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We're broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU. FM McMaster Radio, and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your ever-vigilant stormtroopers.
Searching the world of comic books for a pair of missing droids.
Yes, Chris, these aren't the droids you're looking for.
What, they aren't?
No.
Oh.
Not the droids. Right. That was one of my favorite episodes. Is that the one where Sulu gets sent down to the wrong planet?
That's right. That's exactly the right one.
I love that
one.
No.
And then Jean-Luc Picard can't quite find the droids.
Right, but number one.
That's right. Yeah.
Love that one.
And then there's epic battle between he and the Emperor.
He and the Emperor?
Well, Jean-Luc Picard. Number one.
Number one and the Emperor. Yeah. Number two always wins, Chris.
Speaking of number two, let's get the
right,
show right on the
yes.
Go here.
Yes, let's get the show on the road. What's first, Chris? We're going to do a little bit, as we do every week. We're going to talk about
New This Week.
New This Week,
new
great.
This week. And, of course, New This Week is brought to you by Solving Problems by Punching. Why resolve conflict peacefully when you can smash your way to a solution? Punch first, ask questions later. That's the comic book way. That's the comic book way.
He punches, you zap. He zaps, you annihilate. The comic book way.
He brings his fist, you bring your heat vision. That's the Metropolis way.
That's the Metropolis way. Yes. Yes. All right, Chris.
All right, well, first...
what is first?
First up, we've got... Hawk and Dove, number 6.
Hawk and Dove.
And this is by DC Comics, of course. And this is...
that Hawk and Dove.
You know, it's the last one.
Lord. Thankfully, it's the last one.
Yeah.
Now, this is... We talked about this a week or two ago.
Yes, we did.
Hawk and Dove was one of the several DC New 52...
That we figured would be...
Yeah, and it did get canceled. It is canceled.
Axed, yes. And this is, of course, by Rob Liefeld.
Yes.
Now, interesting story about Rob Liefeld. I don't know if you've seen the news lately on the internet... about Rob Liefeld.
There's news on the internet?
Well, sort of. There was a YouTube clip. Now, Rob Liefeld has always said he's for the fans. He is, he'll do anything for his fans kind of thing. You know, he's very, very...
For the fans. I'm trying to help
word?
You out here, Chris.
Yeah. There's a word. I can't remember what it is.
Into the fans.
Whoa. I don't know about that. But he will do anything for his fans. Ooh. So there's a clip of him. He's rushing to race his deadline to make sure the latest comic gets finished on time. And he's driving his car while filming with his iPhone or iPod or something like that. And he's inking the final pages of Hawk and Dove while he's doing all this. So that's a very safe driver.
Yeah.
Very, very safe driver, yeah. So not only is he filming with one hand, he's also inking with the same hand somehow, or possibly with another hand, and somehow driving with his knees. I don't know.
You know what? That's amazing that you say that, because the other day a guy brought some old Junkers from the basement of the store.
Yeah.
And he had some Youngbloods.
Oh, yeah.
And he opened up and goes, God, the guy that it looks like he... inked this while he was driving, for Christ's sakes.
I think he probably did.
Yeah, so now, he's probably doing it even back
now
then.
Now we know why it looks the way it does.
Right.
Yes. That's right.
Okay, so DC's Hawk and Dove, number one.
Comes out
today. Now, listen, Chris and I are concerned about your bottom line, your dollar. Don't buy this if you haven't bought 1 to 5. But go in, check it out. If for anything else, peruse it, open it, and see what inking while driving looks like.
Exactly. Yeah. That's right. Yeah.
All right. Excellent.
So, yeah.
What else we got?
Next up, we got Incredible Hulk by Marvel Comics.
That's still going on?
Yeah, believe it or not. That old thing? Yeah, yeah. Well, but this is going to be a special SmackDown edition.
Get out.
Yeah, this is the Red Hulk and the Red She-Hulk SmackDown. It's the one you've been waiting for.
Apparently,
yeah,
it is.
The one you've been waiting for.
Yes.
So basically, it's going to be like a whole issue of them fighting kind of thing.
Yeah.
So it's.
Really? An issue of them fighting?
Pretty much. That's what SmackDown's all about. Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
What they should have done with the Red Hulk, what they should do is introduce a whole new cast of villains just for the Red Hulk. Like, say, Lobster Guy.
Yes.
Or something like that.
Exactly.
You know, like Red Things.
Exactly.
You know?
Yes, yes. Or even like Red Sinestro.
Red Sinestro. Yeah, yeah. No, I don't want. I don't want red versions of the green.
Redestro.
Right.
Red Nistro.
Okay, Chris, what else is coming out of that?
Redbomination.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. See,
no?
It's not good. My point is that they have to,
brand new villains.
Brand new villains.
Like the purple onion
Rudolph,
or something
the
like
really
that.
Mad reindeer.
Exactly, yes.
He's got a red nose.
Right.
He went through some sort of gamma burst.
Yeah, that would be good. I would see that. Yeah.
Right. And anyway, they haven't done that, obviously.
No, but they really should.
They turned, the green She-Hulk into a red She-Hulk.
Yeah.
And now, for a poor guy that's colorblind, let's say.
What's he going to do, right?
Well, I mean, it's just the same.
Oh, I was punching.
Didn't I read this before?
I was punching the wrong. Speaking, punching again with the punching,
yeah.
Right? Should have asked questions first.
Anyway, yeah. Marvel's The Hulk out today. Check it out.
Yes. And now speaking of, we were talking about Star Wars earlier today. Speaking of Star Wars Dawn of the Jedi number 0 comes out today. And this is, of course, by Dark Horse, who has the Star Wars license. Now, in case you weren't too sure how this is all going to go down, basically...
Chris, I'm not too sure how this is going to go down.
Well, I'll tell you. That's what I'm here for. Basically, this is the origin of how the Jedi started. So we're talking like 20,000 years ago kind of thing, which... How does that work when, the story is already supposed to be a long time ago? Is there no caveat saying a long time ago plus 20,000 years ago?
Yeah, you know what?
How does that work?
No, I think you could still say a long time ago. You can still say a long time ago because it's still a long time ago.
But
because it's that saying
long is, can be a longer time ago,
perhaps.
Oh, okay.
If that makes
all
you
right.
feel better.
Okay. Well, it does.
Yeah.
Anyway,
because from here, from our vantage point,
it's still a long time ago.
It's still a long time.
Yeah. So it was like the birth of the dinosaur, right? So
right.
I mean, that's
okay.
Who knows how long ago that was?
Yeah. Well, according to some sort of carbon 14 dating, Chris, I can go into the.
I'll ask a few of my teachers.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. But so what are they doing? Like, you're the Star Wars guy here.
It's sort of. Okay. Yes.
Are you aware of them kind of doing this before?
No. This is brand new that I'm aware of. Although they have talked about things like holocrons and these sort of weird kind of jewels and things like that, and that sort of all got started, but they never actually said where it all initially started.
Right.
And they're saying that it all begins with a mysterious
It begins with
mysterious pyramid ships, the Thor-Yor.
Wow, this is tough.
Scattered to the eight corners of the galaxy,
hmm.
And ended with the establishment of an order that would change the universe forever.
I see.
Yes. So there you go. That's
okay.
The little write-up there.
All right. So that's from Dark Horse.
That's from Dark Horse. Now, Kids Pick of the Week.
All right.
We always have to do our Kids Pick of the Week.
Yes, we do.
From Archie Comics, we've got Sonic the Hedgehog is still going.
Sonic the Hedgehog.
Now,
fill me in. Sonic the Hedgehog was is a video game, right?
It started as a video game
from Sega. Sega video game.
Sega now no longer – Sega used to be a console developer. They actually used to make the console where the games would be played on. Now they no longer make the console. They are a software company only. They make the games, but they have nothing to do with the actual consoles anymore.
Right.
But clearly their products and their license line is still doing very well. If Sonic is still going, and you still see Sonic video games coming out every once in a while, and you still see action figures and animals and stuff like that.
So. Right. All right. So now, Archie's Sonic the Hedgehog.
Yes. Today. Now before we end New This Week, I have to give a special nod here to – do you remember the comic book Madman by Mike Allred?
Yes.
Right? So so he actually has a new Madman hardcover coming out called – let me see if I can get this straight. This is the Monster hardcover, Madman the Monster hardcover. And this is going to be a giant table – coffee table book that's going to collect over the past 20 years of all different Madman stories and artwork and all kinds of cool stuff.
Wow.
Now the cool thing,
that's going to be a monster book.
This will be a monster book. Now it is the price point for it is, I think it's $100, so it's a little expensive.
Yeah.
But
you're getting a monster book.
It's 11 by 17. So that's huge,
okay, that's
right?
Big,
that's like
yeah.
the size of a normal page of yeah. comic book artwork. Now the thing about this one is this also – back in the day when the comics were first coming out, they had a lot of special guest artists who would contribute to the back pages, like splash pages
right,
and pinups
right.
and stuff like that. Well, you're getting all that artwork as well. So
Whoa.
You're even getting artwork by guys like Jack Kirby, who was back around when going on. So Jack, there's artwork by Jack Kirby, Frank Frazetta, Alex Toth, Mobius – Frank Miller, Dave Stevens,
all doing
the Madman type stuff.
Wow.
Yeah, whether it's the Madman character itself or
scenes.
Other scenes or right. other characters that were in the those are just to name a few. Man, I could go on here with the number of people that contributed to this book. We got Frank Quitely and Paul Pope and Jeff Smith and Craig Thompson and Matt Wagner, and like it goes on
wow.
and on. I don't
yeah.
have the time to list them all, but man, it's huge. So I had to, even though it's not a comic book, it is a graphic novel, I had to give that special mention today.
Excellent. All right, Chris. Well, let's cap that for New This Week. Please head into your local comic book shop, check out the New This Week, and enjoy.
Yes. And, I decided to switch things up a bit with the music this week. I've got some new songs for you. I hope you like them. A little bit different, actually a little bit different, but a little bit not so much for some of them, because some of them, they're actually well-known artists, but singing songs that have to do with superheroes.
Right on.
So, for example, we've got Elton John singing Dan Dare, Pilot of the Future here. So just give me 1 second here and we'll get that going for you. Oh, hold on, a little technical issues here.
Daniel
here
is trapped. Okay. Chris, you know that Dan Dare.
That Dan Dare guy.
He sure plays a mean pinball.
I think that's the wrong
name. No, that Elton did an awesome cover.
Oh, yeah?
He was in Tommy, the movie Tommy.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, he had those big 8-foot right. platform shoes.
Right,
remember?
I forgot about that. Yeah, yeah, yeah
Captain
yeah.
Fantastic.
Right,
remember
right.
That?
I forgot about
yeah.
that. Yes, you're,
yeah.
you are right. You know what?
You are correct, sir.
I give the music nod to you, absolutely.
All right, Chris, let's move on. What are we doing now? We're doing,
Comic Culture Mailbag.
And the Comic Culture Mailbag is brought to you by Mr. Sprinkle. No, I got that wrong. By... Mr. Sparkle.
Mr. Sparkle.
Yes. Never mind. Banish food stuff to the land of wind and ghosts. Keep your dishes clean with Mr. Sparkle.
Yeah, that's a you probably don't know what that is. That's a Simpsons reference.
Is it?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where Homer finds a box of Mr. Sparkle on from Japan. It's like a dish detergent, and it's,
yeah.
But it's like his head is the mascot.
Right.
And he's like, why is my head a mascot? Like, I don't get it.
Oh,
so,
dear.
Anyways.
You know what? I apologize because I really, really tried hard to read it like I knew what it was.
Yeah. I guess that, well, you know,
yeah,
it didn't
out.
Show at all.
No.
No.
All right. Chris, let's go to Comic Culture Mailbag,
yes.
our newer feature on the show, and I'm going to read to you an email from Dean in Pickle Lake.
Oh, Pickle Lake.
Yeah, right Dean. Hey, Chris, what is up with Power Girl's costume? I mean, doesn't she know that there is a giant boob hole in it?
Yes, she does. Yes, she does. She's quite aware of that. But you know what? You know, that's actually it's all part of a mind game she does with all the people around her, right? Because as she said once, I don't need to wear a mask because no one's ever looking at my face.
Ayo.
So right. So you know, and nobody like it's one of those things where you know she doesn't have to worry about it.
Yeah, you know. Yeah, you're right. Because you know when you like when you fight, you know in those like those caricature type fights where the guy you know with the left hand he's spinning it around and so the right guy
yeah, that's
the guy,
right.
The other
that's
guy
right.
looks at it and then he hits him with the right
exactly,
hand.
Exactly. Right. Exactly.
She doesn't even have to do that.
No.
She
no.
hit him with both hands.
And she wouldn't. And they're not looking at where
yeah,
the, where the fists are coming from. Yeah, that's right. But you know, there's actually a reason behind. I don't know if you are aware that Power Girl is supposed to have larger
boobs
than
right.
other girls in the DC universe, right?
So is that like
that's like a thing?
Hold on,
right?
Hold on. So the new artist. So I'm a new artist,
yeah.
And I come to DC. I come to my first meeting.
Yes,
I'm sitting down there. I'm a schmo. I can draw,
right?
So the guy's going, "All right, kid, we're gonna give you the Justice Society." But look,
yeah.
There's a rule. Power Girl's gotta have the biggest boobs.
I don't know if it's a rule.
Like is that what you're saying?
I don't know if it's a rule. It's sort of like this unsaid kind of rule.
Oh, okay.
Right.
So it's not a mandated DC.
I don't think it's been mandated ever that
mandated. Yeah.
but the story goes that. So Wally Wood, who was the creator of Power Girl,
yes.
or one of the creators of Power Girl, apparently at the time he was sort of a little bit peeved with DC, who was working for.
Mm-hmm.
And so as sort of a way of getting back at them without actually getting back at them, he started to draw Power Girl's boobs bigger with every issue.
Right.
Until like, you know, 12 issues goes by and they're like enormous.
Right.
And so finally somebody's like, hey, what's going on with all this? And so he had to obviously do something afterwards.
Right.
But ever since then... you know, she's sort of been known for having larger boobs.
Okay, Chris, I know I can ask you this.
Oh, boy.
I know that Power Girl's first appearance, I'm sure you know it too.
Yes.
Is All-Star Comics number 58.
That's right.
Mid-70s, I believe. Late 70s, 76?
Yeah, it's about 76, somewhere around
yeah.
there, yeah.
My question to you is, at what issue is the apex of boobery? At what issue? Is it 59, 61, 63? At what issue is the most massive Power Girl boobs? Because the reason I want to know is I'm going to stock up on those issues and put them on eBay.
That's an excellent idea.
With that kind of write-up.
Right. You know what? I'll have to go back home and do some research on that.
Right, of course.
Yes. Research with the
right.
air quotations. Yeah. And, I'm not entirely too sure. You know, I'll say... 63.
Good for you. All right.
Aren't you surprised? I'm sure you're surprised you didn't say like 69.
No.
Yeah.
I didn't even. Oh, I get it.
Hey!
You little devil.
Right. I got a million of them.
Yeah. All right, Chris. We'll end that there. Thank you, Dean, from Pickle Rock.
Or and, Pickle Lake. Whatever.
Oh, Pickle Lake. Sorry. Yeah. And please send your emails to. I don't know where they can send them. We'll get you some sort of email address at one point later on.
Well, you can
the
always
show.
Contact us through comicbookdaily.com.
Comicbookdaily.com,
yes.
Yes. All right. What are we doing? We keep it going. We're going to Trailer Trash now.
Trailer Trash, yeah. We got a lot of news in Trailer Trash.
Wow. Of course, Trailer Trash is where Chris and I talk about Trailer Trash, I guess.
We basically talk about the the idiosyncrasies of movies coming out that really they have nothing else to offer other than, you know, like news stills and stuff like that.
So yeah.
Occasionally we have real news, but usually it's just like, hey, look at that. We got a new picture of Bane from the new Batman movie.
Yeah, look at this. This is from the side, the left side. Wow, because last week was from the right side.
Yeah, or it was full on frontal.
Whoa, full on frontal.
Whereas now it's from the side, right? Ooh. So this is a big
deal. Can't wait for the one from the back.
Exactly. Oh, I say.
Chris. So there's five new. Sorry, I only printed two because I thought five would have been too overwhelming for us.
Absolutely.
Five new stills of the new Avengers movie.
Right. And this is by Joss Whedon, the one coming out on May the 4th.
4th or 5th. Yeah, 4th, I believe you're right. Now, these stills, I guess they're most of them are centering around – the way I read the write-up. It's very important.
Oh, absolutely.
Most of them center around Nick Fury.
Oh, that's interesting because normally, I mean, up till now, nothing's really been about Nick Fury. It's been about either Thor or Cap or whoever, right? And so that's interesting.
Yeah, and so there's a few Nick Fury shots, and they're all and the write-up keeps going and says they want to release just of people, not of action scenes. Because, you know, you and I just want to see a headshot, right?
Well, I see this. I got to say, this one image you've printed off here. It's like, here's an image that shows Black Widow, Scarlett Johansson, and Hawkeye, Jeremy Renner, deep in conversation.
Right.
Wow.
Yeah. So
that there is good filming.
Yeah. They're just sitting there, basically.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. And another one is a headshot of Samuel L. Jackson with an eye patch.
Yes. Unlike he always – wait, no, he always has an eye patch.
Yeah, he always has an eye patch. You know, it would be really cool is if in the next sequence it's on his right eye.
Yeah, that would be bad. If they goofed up like that. Yeah. And then, he was looking at him. It was the Mirror Universe version of him the whole time. Yes.
One with a goatee, one without.
That's right. easy there, Spock.
All right. What else we have in trailer?
We got Amazing Spider-Man footage to be sneaked on February the 6th.
Yeah, this is exciting stuff, isn't it?
Absolutely, yeah.
So the movie opens when?
July the 3rd.
July 3rd.
Yep.
And so I guess if you go, you have to be privileged. You have to live in a world-class city.
Oh.
Yeah. And then if you go to a movie, apparently, you will see
sneak preview kind
sneak
of thing.
Preview type of thing of parts of the Spider-Man movie, as far as I understand.
So I like this. This is first wave of sneaks appear to be limited to specific theaters only in New York, Los Angeles, Berlin, London, Madrid, Tokyo, Paris, Mexico City, Rome, Moscow, Rio, Seoul, and Sydney.
Yeah.
Only in those ones.
And then those cities only add up to about 400 million people.
Exactly.
All right. So,
they're only, being selected. Only 400 million people will get a chance to see it.
We'll get a chance to see it. But anyway, very exciting stuff because apparently you can see Spider-Man sequences before the Spider-Man movie. And who wouldn't want to?
Absolutely. Well, you know what's even more exciting?
What?
Is now we're going to get a chance to find out what the Avengers drive, because that's part of our next bit of trailer trash.
Yeah, this is – what's the guy's name? What's the guy's name that plays Iron Man?
That would be Robert Downey Jr.
Well, what's the character's name? Yeah. Help me out.
Oh, Tony Stark.
Sorry, Tony Stark, yeah. So Tony Stark, we're checking out his new – it's an Acura.
Acura, yes.
And it's apparently worth $9 million. This is the thing.
Okay, hold on. So is the actual Acura worth $9 million, or is like the movie prop version worth $9 million?
I haven't got a clue.
That's what I'm curious about.
I haven't got a clue. But apparently this has all the bells and whistles.
Yes.
It has front and rear defog.
Whoa!
Yeah, and it's got like seat heaters,
and it's got three rearview mirrors.
Three?
Yes, that's right.
Wow! What, like one in the middle and two on each side?
Exactly.
On each side? Yeah.
So you can always see behind you.
Right.
Yeah.
And what the heck else? Yeah, it apparently gets 234 miles per gallon in the city and 302 miles per gallon on the highway.
That's great. And, you know, in case you plan on stealing it, it's got a palm scanning steering wheel.
Yeah.
So your palm has to be part of it.
Yeah.
But now here's the thing.
Here's the thing.
What if you're Rob Liefeld and you want to steer with your knees? Because you
got to be busy
thinking at the same time.
Right.
Because now you can't.
Right.
Unless they should come up with a knee scanning steering
knee
wheel.
Scanning steering wheel. I like it. I like it. And how many of us drive with – never mind. Anyway.
not me. That's for sure.
Anyway, just go online. Google trailer trash. No, don't do that.
You'll probably come up with something completely different.
Yeah, something completely different. Yeah. And anyway, just Google all the movies, and they'll give you tons of stills and silly things that really, I don't know, don't matter, I guess, at this point.
Now, this isn't really trailer trash, but it does have to do with movies. We thought we'd update our listeners about the fact that it looks like, there has been lots of rumors around it, that this is actually going to be a for sure thing now. X-Men First Class sequel is coming out, and it's going to be Matthew Vaughn is going to come back and to direct it. And Simon Kinberg is going to be writing it, and Bryan Singer is going to be producing it.
Excellent.
So, which is great. I think this is awesome.
I think of the superhero movies of 11.
Yeah,
you know, you had Cap, you had Thor, you had Green Lantern.
Yeah,
you know, the X Men one. I think the X Men one was probably the most critically acclaimed.
Absolutely, yes, and unfortunately, well, and I was going to say it probably did the poorest, but I think that honor probably went to Green Lantern.
Right, right.
But X Men First Class was an extremely well done movie. I mean, people that really aren't into comics loved it because it seemed to be a little more down to earth, a little more something that people could relate to. I don't, you know, it's just it had all many different types of aspects to it. It was really good.
All right, excellent, Chris. Let's end that there, and let's, I guess, maybe do another musical interlude.
Sure. And, okay. Well, I've actually got one. This isn't okay. I'm kind of going outside our usual boundaries here. This isn't necessarily about comics, but this is by a comic book creator.
Oh,
and I'm going to play a little bit of it first. And just I'll let you see if you can guess to see who it is.
Okay.
And then I'll let you know afterwards, all right?
All right,
go ahead. So this is Sinister Ducks.
Everyone thinks they're such sweet little things.
Ducks, ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Soft downy feathers and nice little wings.
Ducks, ducks.
But there's a poison I'd like to administer. You think they're cuddly, but I think they're sinister.
Ducks, ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Ducks, ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
What are they doing at night in the park?
Ducks, ducks.
Quack, 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 quack. Think of them waddling about in the dark.
Ducks, ducks.
Whispering and stealing your cars, reading pornography, smoking cigars.
Ducks, ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Ducks, ducks.
Quack, 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 quack.
Nasty and small, undeserving.
Well, Chris, undeniably, that has to be the late, great Carl Barks.
No.
Oh,
not Carl Barks.
Darn.
So that was March of the Sinister Ducks.
Yes.
By the Sinister Ducks,
oh.
I believe. And actually, with Alan Moore involved in that.
Alan Moore
doing Sinister Ducks.
You know what's weird?
Yes.
This is weird.
What's weird?
Englishman. I say.
I say.
Tip tip.
I say.
Tally ho.
Hey, Danny Champion.
I say, old man. They have that thick, heavy accent.
Righto.
But when they sing.
Cheerio.
Cheerio. Man, I wish I knew more. But when they sing, they don't sound English.
Well, not normally, but this one they kind of do a little bit, don't you think?
No.
No?
I couldn't get...
Getting around in the dark.
Dark. Okay, well, just maybe stylized singing.
I'm just saying that when
they sing, it doesn't come across English. Anyway, you know what? That's just my two cents.
But, anyways, for those of you Alan Moore fans out there, that was by Alan Moore.
Right. Listen, if William Shatner can make an album,
absolutely.
Why not Alan Moore?
Absolutely, I agree.
All right, Chris. Let's go into what we call industry news.
Industry news.
Yes,
and
industry news is brought to you by. Go ahead.
Oh, I thought you were going to do it. All right. Industry news is brought to you by the Goliath Key Company. Do you require a giant key for your own, very own fortress of solitude? Come on down to the Goliath Key Company today. Goliath.
Yeah, the reason I gave you that one because I screwed up the mind so badly. But apparently it doesn't matter.
Well, I'm sure we won't be getting a check from the Goliath Key Company anytime soon.
No, we will not.
No.
Anyways, Chris, let's get into industry news. Tons of stuff to go on today.
Yeah,
you know what we're
going to
do? We're just going to hit it hard.
Let's do that.
Yeah,
hit
and then
hard
just
and see
just,
how well we.
Yeah, and then whatever stories we run out of, we have to run out.
All right, I'm good with that.
All right. Hey, the Comic Book Legal Defense Fund.
Yes, now,
is revealed its 2012 member benefits.
Now, just for quickly for our listeners who don't know anything about them, the CBLDF, as it's known in the biz,
yes,
they basically help out store owners who run into any kind of legal problems if they get shut down or if they have to pay fines or anything like that. The CBLDF helps them out a little bit.
Yeah. So now I have to say, and I'm going to get yelled at, but I don't necessarily agree with everything the CBLDF fights for.
I agree.
There are some there should be some limits to what store owners should sell responsibly, but CBLDF doesn't see it that way. Everything to them is censorship, including things that I personally believe are taboo.
Right. But, exactly. Yeah.
But yeah, so if you are an advocate of free speech to the point that CBLDF is, you have options to give money to them and they'll give you a little bit of prizes.
That's
so,
right. Yeah.
And of course, this money, like you say, goes into basically a legal fee war chest.
Right, exactly. Right.
So, and they try to fight censorship battles on the behalf of perhaps, store owners, but perhaps small publishers or even artists or something like that.
That's right, yeah.
Now, the interesting one that I liked here is if you shelled out 1,000 clams.
Well, yeah, so basically, hold on. Before
sorry.
We get to that, let's just...
Oh, I'm sorry.
Let's just, before we get to that, so basically you can support at different levels, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So there's the $25 level, $50, $100, $250, $500, and $1,000 now. Now, it goes from everything from... like basically, with every level, you get something.
Yeah.
So the $25 one gets you a little Cliff Chiang membership card, right?
Right.
$50 level gets you something else, like a window decal, and it just keeps on going up and up from there.
Yeah.
Now there's $1,000 champion level is what you're going to talk about.
Champion level.
Yes.
Because you're championing free speech.
That's right.
Right. You get – what the heck you get? You get a
choice of.
Yeah, you get a choice of, I guess, an autographed hardcover signed exclusively for CB, to the CBLDF champion
right.
from either – now, which one would you pick here?
Okay. So the
David Gibbons' Watchmen.
Yep.
Art Spiegelman's Mouse.
Mm-hmm.
Garth Ennis's Preacher, Volume 1, Brian K. Vaughan's Why the Last Man, Deluxe Edition, Volume 1, or Neil Gaiman's The Graveyard Book?
Easily I would choose The Mouse by Art Spiegelman.
Yeah, so would I. Yeah. It just seems to be the most weighty of them all.
It seems to be the most right one to go with that.
Yeah.
Now, the only thing I'm not too... Now, here's what I find interesting. So you've got the autographed hardcover signed on an exclusive CBLDF champion book plate. So they're not actually signing the book itself.
Yeah.
I don't understand that.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't they sign the book itself? Instead, you're getting a plate, like so you're getting a piece of paper that goes in the book, which can be transferred to almost anything.
Yeah, I don't know.
I don't get it.
You're absolutely right. But, hey, listen, for $1,000,
$1,000 you can get that.
Yeah, if you believe in the cause, then, I guess it's irrelevant what you get, I guess.
I suppose you're right.
All right, let's move it on. Chris, you're, again, a Star Wars fan.
It's been Star Wars Day today.
Yeah.
Isn't it? Yeah.
Now... Star Wars toys are always popular and stuff like that.
Oh yeah, if you had an unopened 12-back Jawa
or a Boba Fett from 77,
first of all, it's Boba Fett. Second of all, it wouldn't have come out until 1980. But
right.
I don't know anything about Star Wars.
Right. Yeah.
So, but if you had a Jawa plastic cape in still mint in package, you're looking at thousands and thousands of dollars.
Wow.
So there's lots of great Star Wars toys out there. I don't think this is going to be one of them, which is what we're talking about for our bit of industry news.
Yeah.
So for those of you who are Star Wars fans, you probably are already aware that George Lucas needs more money. So he's re-soliciting or redistributing.
Re-releasing.
Re-releasing is what I wanted to say. The Star Wars franchise movies in 3D starting this year.
Yes.
Now, Phantom Menace is going to be the first one to come out. Of course.
Isn't that the terrible one?
That's the one. I don't want to say terrible one. I'm not a big fan of it. It's the one that is...
with Jojo Biggs in it?
Jojo, yeah. I think that's his name. Jojo Biggs.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's the one that everybody hates.
It's with Jar Jar.
Jar Jar Biggs. I'm sorry.
Jar Jar.
Jar Jar Binks. All right, you know, it was close.
Yeah. And but do you remember the I got to say, do you remember the Simpsons where they
There was a Simpsons where they make fun of Jar Jar.
They came out with Jim Jam cereal. And it was just alphabets with more J's.
Oh, Jesus. Jumping junipers.
So anyways. If you go see Star Wars Phantom Menace at an AMC theater, if you get purchase a real 3D ticket, you get a free Star Wars fighter pod.
Wow.
Yes. Now, I'm sure this would be a crappy little toy that's going to be millions and millions of them made and end up in landfill everywhere.
I think you're probably right. Now, okay, so the first movie stinks, apparently. The episode one, everybody hated it. So why, like, I guess, will people go see it again?
Absolutely they will. Yeah. Because you know what? It's been long enough. I mean, Phantom Menace came out in, 1999. That's 12 years ago, right? Yeah. So there's a whole new generation of people that have not, of kids especially, that have not seen these movies in the theater, and it's a great chance for them to see it. Now, as much as we rag on Phantom Menace, it is a good movie, and it is designed, really, it's much more kid-friendly than the rest of them. By the time you get to the later movies, they're a little bit more adult. There's more characters involved. There's more...
That's what we need, the 3D adult version.
I think that's already been made. Remember we had that discussion last week about all those characters that were already in the pornography business?
Right, oh yeah.
Yeah, I think there's already an adult version of Star Wars out there.
Imagine that Batamarang coming at you. Duck, whoa!
Batamarang and a... Are you talking about Star Wars still? Are you talking about...
I thought I was.
I don't know. Okay. I get lost so easily with you sometimes.
Sorry. All right, so this is cool. Anyway, so if you're a Star Wars toy fan...
Yes.
Or if you're a Star Wars movie fan.
Yes.
Or if you're a Star Wars comic fan.
If you're just a Star Wars fan in general.
Star Wars fan in general. Check out go to the AMC, watch the 3D, and get a flippin' toy, all right?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right. Let's keep going. Marvel, hey, we talked about this a couple months ago. Marvel canceling their kids, Marvel Kids. Apparently, Marvel is launching a new kids series of titles.
Kid friendly titles,
absolutely. Yeah. And I don't know an imprint name, but it's all going into conjunction with the new Marvel block on the Disney XD channel.
Yes.
So they're kind of supporting it with the same characters, the same kind of animation, I guess, the same kind of character development in comic book format.
Yeah.
So
I think this is a great idea. There's no reason why it can't have why Disney can't have a Marvel Universe block. It does debut on April 1st. Makes me think that there might be a big joke around there.
No, but, I don't think so.
I don't think so either. This is going to be great. I mean, it is going to be, they're going to have. They call it the Man of Action Collective, and the Man of Action Collective basically did the same thing for the comic books that they're going to be doing for the TV block, right?
Right.
And the thing that I like about that is that they are responsible for creating Ultimate Spider-Man Adventures, which had Dan Slott and Tiny Tim. God bless Spider-Man, everyone.
Listen. This is good for Marvel because I think what Marvel has to do, and Disney is smart, and Disney is a company that was built a quadrillion dollars based on going after the kids.
Hey, speaking of Disney, did you hear in the news, I think it was either last week or the last couple weeks anyways, they have gone easy on their beard policy. Did you know about that?
No, so, they had a beard policy.
So basically, if you worked for Disney, and especially if you worked on the front lines, no facial hair was allowed. And now they're sort of saying, you know what, you can have facial hair, but no longer than a quarter of an inch.
Wow.
Yes. So now you can now I know you have a bit of a goatee there, Walt. So now you can finally live the dream and go work at the front lines.
I was just going to say, Chris, that's good news for you because you'd qualify.
I beat you to it.
Yeah. All right. Chris, what else we got? Let's talk about Oscar nominations. I feel a little bit Entertainment Tonight-y right now,
You do look a little like Mary Hart.
Yeah, thanks. Let's talk about Oscar nominations. And let's talk about Tintin getting snubbed.
Yeah, only one nomination.
And that's for like original score.
So it's got nothing to do with the animation, the story, anything like that.
Nothing.
Directing, anything.
Nothing.
So that's a bit of a snub.
Hey, Steve. Here you go, pal. Chew on that.
Well, he...
Okay. Steven Spielberg.
But he is getting something for – he was had a lot of nominations for War Horse. And Peter Jackson, who was also involved with that, with Tintin, mm-hmm. remember, he won lots of Oscars and stuff for Lord of the Rings before. So they're like, ah, he's got enough of these anyways.
I guess.
But
I guess.
Hugo but, yeah, receives Hugo would be 11.
The now, Hugo is kind of like a 3D animation type movie as well. But it's based off of a loosely off a graphic novel, so which ties it into kind of the comic medium and stuff like that. And it's directed by Martin Scorsese.
Right. Well, which has often been overlooked for many years.
Now, here's a guy.
Yeah.
Who directs Taxi Driver.
Well, yeah. Okay.
Talking to me?
Yeah.
Talking to me? Chris, you talking to me?
Sometimes I think I'm talking by myself.
Yeah. I didn't think you were talking to me.
So,
hold on. And Raging Bull.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know? And Goodfellas.
Yeah.
And nothing.
Maybe, all three of those movies have Robert De Niro. Maybe they're just like, hey, we don't really like Robert De Niro very much.
Robert De Niro? But I don't know. Like, these are really good movies. Maybe Joe Pesci. Maybe they don't like Joe Pesci. Joe Pesci wasn't in...
He wasn't in Raging Bull or Taxi Driver.
He was in Raging Bull. He was his brother.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah. right.
Anyway, so here's Scorsese. I guess he finally gets... I won't say he hit Oscar gold yet, but he's hit Oscar nomination gold.
Absolutely. 11 nominations.
With Hugo.
Yeah,
right.
Sure.
So I'm rooting for Tintin to win that original score.
Well, it better win something.
Yes, no, that's my point. But that's the only thing it can win.
I'm just saying that it should win it.
All right. Now let's go on to...
Speaking of more movies, this probably should have been in our trailer trash stuff, eh? But anyways, it's not really trailer trash. It's just more like industry news.
Oh, this is exciting.
So this is good. So Bone by Jeff Smith.
Soon to be in 3D.
Is soon to be in 3D. It's got a director now attached to the movie and the director is P.J. Hogan. Now you
know P.J. Hogan.
The thing you and I were talking about very briefly before the show. So P.J. Hogan is known for previous movies such as My Best Friend's Wedding and Confessions of a Shopaholic. So Bone is nothing like any of these.
No.
So I'm wondering, is this like... what's going to happen with this character? Is Bone now going to be worrying about what shoes to wear to the prom?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
He doesn't want to be snubbed at the wedding. Like, I'm confused here.
You know what? I hope that this P.J. Hogan, they must have picked him for a reason. I mean, but you're right, though. Like, the chick flicks, kind of My Best Friend's Wedding, Confessions of a Shopaholic, sound like chick flicks.
Absolutely.
Right?
Well, yeah.
And here you get Bone, which is more kind of like a younger version of what's the Peter Jackson
Lord of the Rings.
Lord of the Rings. Sorry.
It's like a cartoony Lord of the Rings.
Yeah.
An epic adventure.
Yeah. And yeah, is it gonna happen? Part I didn't understand is the feature film based on Jeff Smith's Bone has a director and a new writer.
Right.
Tamper with it's already written.
Don't they already have a writer? And I think his name's Jeff Smith.
Jeff Smith is my point. Yeah. Yeah. So obviously they're talking about screenplay and stuff like that. But that sounds exciting. What I would do with Bone, honestly, is I would do it kind of like Lord of the Rings.
Well, yeah, you know what?
I would do three movies.
Absolutely. I agree. It's certainly long enough to have three movies and why not, I hate to say it, but why not go in the same direction as the 300 where, there was a lot of scenes that were taken directly from the comic.
Sure.
Why not do that for Bone? So, bam, you've already got your storyboard, right?
It's one of the greatest graphic novels ever written.
Yeah, I agree.
And if you start tinkering with it and going, deviating on dumb tangents.
You know what you get after that is it's called League of Extraordinary Gentlemen, which is terrible.
Good point.
Terrible movie.
Good point. All right. Speaking of... Well, it's not necessarily terrible, but let's talk about three major publishers touting their digital-only comics, I guess.
Yeah, so this is interesting. So IDW, who I thought really wasn't going to be a player at all in the digital comics field, is coming out with a new 12-part digital-only series. So if you want to read the new Transformers Autocracy, which is going to start January the 18th. Oh, it already started.
Yeah.
Well, I think we're a little late on this one.
Yeah, I'm sorry. But,
basically, every 2 weeks, IDW will release a new 8-page chapter of the new Transformers storyline.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, that trumps what Dark Horse is doing, which is kind of a thing called Prototype, where it's a tie into some action video games.
Yeah, it's not terrible. I mean,
I didn't say it was terrible. All I meant is it's kind of a property that's not known to comic book fans.
Right.
And then DC as well. They're going with something that's old material.
No, they did 2 years ago.
Yeah, with a Lego tie-in.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Whereas IDW is taking a property that is currently being published in brand new comic material. And they're doing a tangent to it.
Yeah.
What do you call it? Digital only.
Yeah. So they're hoping that the people that are already buying the Transformers comics may hop onto the digital market.
Right.
Or perhaps get brand new readers, of course.
Right.
Whereas the guys with like Prototype, what Dark Horse is doing is there's a Prototype video game, and soon the Prototype 2 will be coming out. So they're basically coming out with an online comic that's going to bridge the two games. Now, this is nothing new.
Yeah.
DC did the same thing with Arkham Asylum and then Arkham City.
Right.
This is absolutely nothing new, except they just did it in comic book format instead of digital format, which I'm glad because it was a good comic.
All right,
but
all right, Chris, let's keep going. Let's do one more story, and then we'll take a musical interlude.
All
because
right.
What we're doing, we're sprinting
we
through
are.
Industry news. We have so much to tell the fans, the listeners, about what's going on in the world of comic books that I almost feel out of breath. Okay, let's talk about the Skrulls will not be the Avengers villains.
Yeah, so this is the big news. So everybody thought that Skrulls were going to be the big villains
for the
Avengers.
The Avengers.
So did I. Turns out Kevin Feige has actually come out and say, quote unquote, it's not Skrulls. I've been clear about that. The identity of the alien race is not impactful. It exists in comic books, but we're not setting up the Kree-Skrull war or anything like that. End quote.
Mm-hmm. Now, a lot of fans are going to be disappointed. A lot of fans are asking, okay, who's the alien race?
Right.
And I guess he's saying it really doesn't matter. I wanted Skrulls, especially off the. You got to remember when the Avengers movie, the planning for the Avengers movie was announced was a couple of years ago,
mm-hmm.
and that was fresh off the Secret Invasion.
Right? Yeah.
Which was a pretty good event with Marvel Skrulls,
it was pretty big, yep.
With the Skrulls coming in and kind of infiltrating Earth and stuff like that. And
yep.
it was good.
It was very good, yeah.
And Skrulls was on everybody's mind, and the Avengers titles were the main titles of the Skrull
thing. And really, the Skrulls, aside from maybe Fantastic Four, the Skrulls have mainly been an Avengers villain, right?
Yeah.
So it would make sense that the Avengers, and plus with the event, there's the Kree-Skrull War, which happened in the Avengers comics. So it would have made sense, the Skrulls would have been the major villain. But it looks like it's not.
Yeah.
But
you know what? Sorry, before we go to musical break, there was I didn't print it off on the page here, but there was a great thread on everybody's kind of excited about this Avengers movie, and there's kind of like talk of cameos.
Right.
And there was speculation on, you know, high-named cameos.
Right.
Making, appearances in the thing. Like, I read somewhere like Michael Caine or something.
Oh, yeah,
Just silly famous actors are going to maybe just want to pop into this movie and stuff like that if they can.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, which would be great. You know
and
I mean?
Then if they were Skrulls.
Oh,
but they're not going to be Skrulls now, right?
So. Yeah, man. I went on another side. I don't know how reputable they are, but they had a couple cameos. They claimed that Mr. Bean is going to make a cameo. He's going to play Black Bolt's dad.
Oh, that's good. I like that. Yeah, that's good.
Anyway.
Hi-o.
Hey-o.
All right. Well, let's cut to a musical break here. Again, a new song for the ages here. I'll tell you what it is afterwards, but I'm pretty sure you're going to guess what the title of it is.
Metamorpho. This is the story of the Element Man. Metamorpho. Starts out in old Egypt land. Metamorpho. Rex Mason was his real name. Metamorpho, a soldier of fortune didn't care about fame. Metamorpho, metamorpho, until fate took a hand in the game, what a change. metamorpho, metamorpho, shooting cosmic rays stronger than the sun through his body and brain. And when it was done, there, yeah, there, yeah, there, yeah, 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 there stood the element man.
Chris, that just may very well be my new favorite song.
I wonder what it's called. I think it's called Metamorpho, but I'm
might
not
be called
entirely
Metamorpho.
Too
I
sure.
love that. You know, yeah. Unfortunately, I got my start in the comic business.
Yes.
You know, after I became a fan, buying and selling old back issue comics.
Right, right.
And one of the characters I hated the most with a passion was Metamorpho.
Really?
Because what happens is whenever you buy a collection of a guy that used to collect old DCs,
yeah.
he'd have those flipping Metamorphos in there. And they would never in a million years sell. Nobody bought Metamorpho. Now, you see, if I had that CD, how could you not buy
That's
it
right.
after that? All right, Chris, let's keep talking
let's go on here. Now,
movies.
We ended it with the Avengers, and we're going to begin the next segment here with the Avengers as well.
Yeah.
So we've got the Avengers director Joss Whedon has explained that the narrative of the Avengers movie is actually going to come from Captain America.
Yeah, it's going to be told from a Cap point of view. And the reasoning behind it, according to Mr. Whedon, was the fact that Cap is the outsider. He's the guy coming from the past.
Right.
Everything's new to him. And he's trying to make sense of it all.
Which makes sense.
Yeah.
It actually makes sense because, you know what? As an audience member, clearly we're nerds and we get the whole Captain America. We get the whole comic book thing.
Right.
But there are going to be a lot of audience members out there who aren't going to quite understand what's going on because they're new to the comic book field and,
right.
and movies. So this is a great way because he's the character of Captain America is going to be learning things. As well as the audience.
I like it. It's just the Avengers publicity machine is just gearing up, isn't
yeah.
it? All right. Speaking of gearing up or
yes.
publicity machine, TCAF. Let's talk TCAF.
Yeah.
For
so
a
the Toronto Comics Art Festival has, pardon me, has decided on their date. It's going to be held in May 5th and 6th in Toronto.
Hey, wait a minute. May 5th.
Yep.
Is that not Free Comic Book
that
Day?
That is Free Comic Book Day. So if you're a fan of comics in general, Toronto seems like it's going to be the place to be.
Right. Well, listen, if you're a comic fan and you are in the outlying areas of the greater Toronto area,
yes,
I would strongly encourage you to visit your local comic book shop on the Saturday.
And then
head down to TCAF on the Sunday.
Well, you can still go to the local comic book shop during the day, and then there's all kinds of events that go on at night, even for TCAF. Like,
right,
you know,
fair
in the
enough.
Early
well, what
and,
I don't want TCAF is to steal the thunder of Free Comic Book
well,
Day
and,
for the GTA,
yes.
the Greater Toronto Area. A Free Comic Book Day is a very, very important date for local comic book shops. They invest a lot of time, money, energy, you name it. They invest it into drawing new people in. I worry like a festival like this that may take those patrons.
Absolutely.
And
you know what?
Not filter into the store. So if you're going to go to TCAF, make sure first you pay homage.
And there are a lot of people out there who share your sentiments about that as well. And they're actually quite upset that you know, here's this great event of TCAF. Why do you have to have it the same weekend as Free Comic Book Day? Because here are two really great events. And,
right.
You know, can't you have it the weekend after or the weekend before? Like, you
right.
know,
well,
now he's making people choose.
Like, the thing with that is, and TCAF is put on by our very good friends at The Beguiling, you know, one of the best shops in the world.
Absolutely, yes.
And TCAF is a truly international festival. TCAF only has the potential to affect a 50 kilometer radius, let's
right,
say,
right.
of TCAF.
Yes.
Like, you know, a guy coming in from Calgary into TCAF.
Right, right.
The numbers aren't going to be so great that it affects your local comic book shop.
That's right.
But perhaps, you know, the shop in North York or the shop in Scarborough or something like that, you know, areas of Toronto that are close,
yep, for sure,
you know,
for
relatively
sure.
within public transit of TCAF.
Yeah.
I don't want
those shops. They might be affected.
Yeah, I don't want those shops hurt.
Even a store like the Silver Snail in Toronto might be affected because it's a short subway ride for them
sure,
too, right?
Sure.
So absolutely.
Sure. But anyway, TCAF is going on. A great guest list so far.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It's lots of great guests there. We got Gabriel Ba, Jeff Smith, geez, I can't remember all the different names there. Yeah, you got Brian Lee O'Malley. Yeah.
Jason, of course.
Jason, yeah. Cartoonist, yep.
So it's a great lineup. It's a great event. Again, if you're going to go there, make sure you hit your local shop before heading out.
So next up, I know we're running out of time here. So next up, we have to very quickly talk about how comics are being affected on stamps for British comics in Great Britain, in the UK.
I say, Danny.
I say, old boy, old Chip.
We have our roving man, our intrepid reporter.
Intrepid Danny Champion.
Yeah, out in London.
Yes.
He's told me. Actually, he hasn't, but I'm just going to say he has, that he's going to get us these sheets, stamps, and send it down. And now I'm looking at this great picture. So remember, Canada Post did this
years ago.
Yeah. And our friend Richard Conley had Captain Canuck on a stamp,
right,
which we thought was cool.
Right.
Of course, Superman was on a stamp because it's co-created by a Canadian.
And Johnny Canuck,
Nelvana.
And Nelvana. Yeah. I think it was just the four.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so I'm looking at this lineup of British stamps. Okay, Judge Dredd is the one who, you know, our listeners probably would mow.
Right.
Would mow. But how about Beano?
Well, I know Beano. I grew up with Beano, Beano comics. But, you know, even more so, how about Tiger or Topper?
Or Busty.
I think it says Bunty.
Okay.
With this Buster or Bunty.
No, that would be the what's her name?
That's the Power Girl stamp.
Power Girl stamp.
That's right.
Yeah, you need two of them.
I think you're going to get Twinkle.
Twinkle. Yes.
But clearly these are long-standing comics from the UK, and they obviously deserve a stamp.
Yeah, 75, celebrating 75 years of British comics. Kudos to them. And I can't wait to get our sheet for Mr. Champion.
Absolutely. Right. So, we're running out of time here, but very quickly, we have to talk about the fact that Popeye, you know the character Popeye? Yes, exactly. So, Popeye, created by E.C. Seeger, who, you know, back in, geez, back
geez,
in the...
I think the 1850s.
1890s.
1920s, I believe. Late 20s. I think, you see, Popeye was a late-coming character into the comic book.
Yes.
It was a strip.
Comic strips, yeah.
And it went on and on. And then like 5 or 6 years or 3 or 4 years into the run, the Popeye character was introduced.
That's right.
And then he became the most popular character.
That's right, yeah. So, and then actually the Popeye character was introduced in cartoons in Betty Boop, believe it or not.
Wow. See?
So there's all kinds of Popeye stuff. Anyways, so Roger Landridge is set to create a new Popeye comic book. This is going to be distributed by IDW, and Roger Landers. Now, I know some of you don't know who this guy is.
I don't know who this guy is.
You really should, because here's a guy who he had Harvey Award-winning comics where he did the Muppet Show comic book. And he actually also worked on Thor, the Mighty Avenger. He's a great, great cartoonist and writer. Great guy. I think he's perfect for doing the new Popeye comic.
Right. Now, from what I understand, this isn't a Treasury Archive Popeye thing.
No, no. This is brand new stuff.
Brand new stuff. Now, I'm questioning out loud, is Popeye going to make the transition to cut?
I think so. I think a guy like Roger Landridge is probably perfect for being able to pay homage to the old characters, but bring it in with fresh ideas and fresh new ideas for the modern times kind of thing. Contemporize it a bit. Yeah, I think so.
Okay,
I think he'd be great at it.
All right, let's hope so.
I agree. But,
I'm looking forward to it.
Sadly, we have run out of time for today.
All right, Comic Culture is produced by Anthony Falcone and engineered by Andrew Roebuck. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com, click on the podcast link, scroll down to the bottom, and enter your comments in the comments field. And please listen to us at getthepointradio.com, podcast, and comicbookdaily.com.
And remember, if your life isn't going the way you had managed, don't worry. Just reboot it with all number ones.
All number ones. Sorry, I can't read. Hey, go out and support your local comic book store.
Have yourself a great day.